Now, we go further in the study of how the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. And one part of it, obviously, is that the Lord Jesus prayed that they may be kept. Kept from the world, kept from Satan's influence, kept from the power of the devil. And then he also prayed very, very much that they might be one, that unitedness must not be lost. This was their focus. Now, we go on further to other aspects of prayer of the Lord Jesus. And today, our focus in John 17, 13 to 19 is on the subject of joy. Now, you would almost imagine that, you know, there should be a lot of joy. There would be joy in seeing people who are sick healed. There should be joy when people who are possessed are released from the powers of the evil one and they are healed. There should be joy when people come by the multitudes and some express faith in the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, there is special joy in that they knew the Lord Jesus, they were loved by the Lord Jesus, they were taught by the Lord Jesus, there was a great personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. I think that would be something absolutely wonderful. But strangely, the Gospels do not record a whole lot of joy. Now, the wise men, they were described as having joy. There's no question about that. They had exceedingly great joy when they saw the star. When the star disappeared, I'm sure they were upset. But when they saw the star again, they found great joy. But by and large, the whole idea of joy is not a whole lot developed or spoken of or written about in the Gospels. And you cannot but ask why. Is it because the Lord did not teach them joy? But I think the real reason is simply because they didn't have a whole lot of joy. Right? One, it could be they had to get up early in the morning to follow the Lord Jesus. And then they were never sure what they're going to eat, where they're going to go, what kind of trials they were going to face, what kind of testings. They would always have to meet with people. Some people are not nice people. And then there's a fear of the demonic possession and so on and so forth. It's kind of hard to find real joy when you have got a long day. There are problems and difficulties along the way. And there is not great faith inside the heart. And so you can imagine that a great deal of joy was probably missing in the lives of the disciples. And that's why the Lord all the more had to address this problem. And that's why he said, all right, he said, Now I come to you. These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That's John 17, 13. Let's pause and ask ourselves what this means. Right? First, the joy is there if the Lord Jesus Christ comes to teach us that work. He speaks in the world. He brings wonderful teachings that should be joy fulfilled in themselves. Unfortunately, that did not seem to be the case very much. Right? And then, so the Lord Jesus Christ prayed further. I have given them your word. Now, we're talking about the disciples, right? Of course, there would be the world at large. There would be other disciples. But this was a special group of disciples. I've given them your word. The world hates them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that that was the situation. There is hatred from the world. There is that joy that should come to them when he has given them his word. But again, for some reason, the joy was missing. Right? Now, let's go back a little bit to John 15, 11, where the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, that my joy may remain in you. 2, that your joy may be full. That's John 15 at verse 11. And then we read in John 16, your sorrow will be turned into joy. John 16, 20. 16, 22. Your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And then John 16, 24. Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, there would be a good number of references along the way. In fact, we've listed four, right? John 15, 11, 16, 20, 22, 24. Now, this focus on joy should have become very, very real. And yet, here the Lord is praying for them. If they had joy already, He would not need to pray for them. But the reality is that they didn't find that joy. They didn't find the joy in the Word. They didn't find the joy in His relationship with them. They did not find the joy in ministry. The fullness of joy was not there. The joy was not there because they were not people of prayer. So obviously, there were quite a lot of things missing with reference to this thing called joy. And so the Lord has to pray for them, and He tells the Father, this is what I have done, right? So He said, I have given them your word. That should be sufficient to bring a great deal of joy. So imagine where once there was ignorance, there was now knowledge. Whereas once they were wrong in their understanding, they were corrected. Now the knowledge that they have was actually far superior than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. All of these things should have brought in the desired joy. And yet, for some reason, it was just missing. Right? So this is where the Lord Jesus Christ had to pray for them, for His disciples, that they will find joy. And this is important. This joy and the Word of God must be understood as related very closely, right? So as much as we talk about joy that was missing, the Lord Jesus wanted them to have this joy, a joy that comes from relating to God, believing in God, faith in God, the Word of God, prayer answered. These are wonderful reasons why we can have this joy. But that is unfortunately missing in the lives of the disciples. Now, let's look at the Lord's focus now on the second part of it. One part of it is joy. One part of it is the Word of God. Now, this is very, very special and challenging too, right? In John 14, the Lord said, I have given them your Word. John 17, 17, He said, the Lord said, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Now, I think that's important for us to take note of. Right? And then He said, He Himself sanctifies Him. He says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. Now, this is important. So this particular segment here, this few verses, 13 to 19, has got two foci. One, joy. Two, the Word of God. And they are tied in together. So it's wise that we study the both of them side by side. Right? So the joy is something to pray for, something to look forward to, something that we can have joy related to life, related to faith in the Lord, related to the Word of God. And I think that is important. If we don't have that joy in our lives, it's time to begin to ask the Lord, to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, give me this joy. Now, that's the first thing. Now, then we have another part that talks about the Word of God. And I think this is just as important. How wonderful it is to read the Scriptures and to know that this is a Word that comes from God, given to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus gives it to His disciples. His Word is absolute truth. Now, the nature of this particular Word that the Lord Jesus Christ is highlighting is that this Word of truth has the power to sanctify them. Meaning to say, It has power to make them holy. It has power and authority to change them so that they become more and more aware of the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word, it can bring joy. The power of the Word, it can keep us sanctified or make us sanctified. I think that is absolutely important. And as the Lord Jesus sends his disciples into the world, he sends them out with joy. He sends them out with his word. He sends them out with his authority and power. I think that becomes very, very, very obvious. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, we read in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, all of these things are related to the person of the Lord Jesus, related to the word of the Lord Jesus, related to the authority and power of the Lord Jesus, and they are given to us. Now, as we combine the two, on one part joy, on the other part the word of God, we should be literally filled with special joy indeed, right? And the word of God as well. Now, as we try and review what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, then you begin to appreciate why these things were obviously not in their hearts, in their lives. So they continued to be fearful, they continue to be sorrowful, they continue to be unable to understand the Lord Jesus and what he was trying to teach them about life and death. See, this is what is needed. To find our relationship with the Lord Jesus as something precious, something wonderful, something life-giving, joy-giving. Now, then when we tie that joy and life to the Word of God. So if we have the Word of God, it is a word of truth, it has the power to sanctify us, then that joy should also be in our hearts. It's kind of a twin thing. On the one hand, joy, on the other hand, the Word of God. And this joy can come on its own, but it is also related to the Word of God. This word of God can come in its own authority to sanctify, to bring joy, and to give assurance, to strengthen faith, and more. The challenge is to find both things, existing and true in our life. One, the joy part. Two, the word of God and its sanctifying power. Now, if all of these things can be done, then we can understand the flow of thoughts of the Lord Jesus. Of course, he was very concerned for them that they should be protected. Protected from the evil one, protected from evil, protected from the world. And he prayed that they will also be one with each other, united in heart, united in mind, united in faith, united in spirit, united in ministry. And then he also prayed for them that they may have joy. To me, as you look at John 17, they're all tied in. To be protected, joy. To be one with each other, joy. To be able to pray that his joy may be ours, may be full, will not be taken away. That is worthwhile praying for. And then, of course, the sanctification by the Word of God. So when we have this, the Word of God sanctifying us, we are ready to be sent out to fulfill the Great Commission. Put all of these things together and you begin to realize how significant was the prayer of the Lord Jesus for his disciples. Because all the things he prayed for, he prayed about, they are relevant to us today. We need to be protected from the evil one, from the world, from sin. We need to be further one in heart, in mind, in spirit. We need to find that special joy from the Lord that comes from his word with his power to sanctify us. And then the Lord Jesus Christ talked about sending them out. Well, when we are protected, when we are united, when we are full of joy, and we have the Word of God in us, we have every reason to not lose our sense of joy and our understanding and appreciation of the power and the authority of the Word of God. So as we look at the prayers of the Lord Jesus, let's just be very, very greatly challenged to consider this kind of prayer for our own hearts and our own lives. Let's pray for our pupils. Let's pray for ourselves that all that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed about will be the foci of our prayer too. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy that we can have in the Lord Jesus. A joy that comes through understanding your word. A joy that comes through answered prayer, through the word of God, through our faith in the Lord Jesus. Help us more and more to be enamored of the word of God and what it means for us to be sent out to become people who will be able to help make disciples for the Lord Jesus. Grant to us your grace and your mercy and your strength and your joy. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.